Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. It's a thrill to be here, and I'm always enjoy coming here, and I'm really excited about being here this year. Roll Tide. It just started out right now and just get it done with. Brother Sellers was the one who started. I was going to be nice this year. But, you know, when you start playing puppy dogs, that's what happens. And I was going to be really nice this year. I wasn't going to mention a thing. You can keep that. That's normally what puppy dogs do. But anyway. So then I have an Ohio State fan driving me to church. Where are you? Go ahead, stand up. Help. So I have an Ohio State fan taking me to church this morning, and all of a sudden, the car just starts slowing down. Brother Hall, I mean, it was slowing down. He says, oh, no. I said, what? He says, we're out of gas. I said, it's just like a Buckeye fan. They always go out of gas before the championship. You can be seated. I do enjoy my time here. Your pastor is we have become very good friends. It's most of my friends are older men. I've just made it the way it's been my whole life. I enjoy being around older men. I feel like I'm safer when I do that. Sad part is most of those older men are starting to die off. I still call Dr. Gray. He's, of course, a very good friend of mine. I call him about every week, and I'm asking God to keep him around for a little bit of time and appreciate him and what's going on. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you tonight, we're in a battle. And we can sit around and say that it can't be done, or we can just say it can be done, and I believe it can be. Mark chapter 14, if you have it, would you stand with me as we read the Word of God? And as Peter, verse 66, and as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. I like that little statement right there. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, you know what he was saying right there? He was saying Georgia Bulldogs. That's what he was saying right there. He began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. One little phrase, we've all preached on it many a time, but I want to bring it just a little bit different direction tonight. It says, she saw Peter warming himself. I want to talk to you tonight about warming at the wrong fire. Warming at the wrong fire. Father, take these next few minutes. Lord, we love your book. We're glad that you've given us every word in the English language through this King James Bible. And Lord, I pray tonight, as I preach tonight, I pray that I don't think that we're going to correct anybody, but I do think we're going to kind of uncover the landmark that we heard about last night. And remind everybody, this is it. This is where it starts. God, we've got to somehow get a backbone in our independent Baptist men and understand if we're not willing to fight over this, and we won't fight over anything. I pray that you'd help me now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've heard the story of Peter quite often, following afar off. And the one thing I will say, at least about Peter, at least he was following. I just kind of wonder where everybody else was. He was at least following. But Peter, he finds himself, as Jesus goes inside, Peter finds himself at this fire. He's standing at the fire. Get this now. He's warming himself at the critic's fire.
He's at the fire of those who have their podcasts that say that soul winning don't work. He's at the critic's fire, the one who says that the men of the past are failed men, even though these guys who say this haven't done anything. He was standing at the denominational fire where he's trying to dictate everybody, everything that Jesus was doing. He was at the contemporary crowd fire, trying to just kind of blend in with everybody so we can attract somebody. He was just at the wrong fire. As he's at that fire, he's with the fire of the feel-good music, but he's also, there's something about this fire that reminds me that we have that there's something that helps us in this battle that we face today. God says in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14, "Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, Behold, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth," notice the next word, "fire. And this people would, and it shall devour them." So I want you to notice when God says in Jeremiah, he's talking about the word of God as a fire. He again, in Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, he says, Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a what? As a burning fire. I look again in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29, and it says, is not the word like as a what? Fire. In Luke 24, 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart what? Burn within us while he talked with us. By the way, is it not interesting that fire is always equated to the word of God? My question to Peter tonight is, Peter, what are you doing standing at the crowd at the fire of the other Bibles? That's my question tonight. My question tonight is, why are you standing with those who criticize the Word of God if you haven't figured this out? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And here he's standing in the other crowd, the crowd that attacked our Savior, the Word of God, the crowd that tried to shut him up, who's the Word of God. Understand, I'm just one of those preachers that still believes that the King James Bible is the inspired and preserved Word of God, and it's every word for you and I tonight. I get a little concerned with our generation of preachers that we will get upset over somebody who maybe he's done something a little wrong. But we can bring the false Bible into our church and say, well, it's okay. You understand? It's okay. May I say, it's not okay. I'm amazed. I'm not an old man. I'm 57 years of age. You say, what's old? 58. You say, what do you do when you turn 58? Then 59 will be old. I remember I sat under the ministry of Brother Howes and worked in his ministry there for several years. And I remember I would sit there, and many of you were there. We heard Brother Howes preach strong on the King James Bible. Brother Howes would thunder aloud, and I think that he was the one who God used to champion the truth that the King James Bible is the inspired and preserved Word of God. I sat there, and I remember I thought, man, we've won this battle. I thought, man, the battle's won. You know, we're not going to have to fight this battle. I can remember Brother Howes making this statement. He says, young men, you better listen to me. He says, this is an every generation battle. He says, you'll fight it again. He says, I'll be gone in heaven. He says, I'll be playing tag with the angels in heaven. But he says, you'll fight that battle again. I remember I sat there as a young preacher, and I thought to myself, Brother Howes has already fought the battle. Boy, was I ever wrong. And what amazes me is we're more concerned about what the big crowd out there says than what we are with standing with the old King James Bible. We forgot a Lester Roloff who used to trumpet the old King James Bible and said, don't mess with mama, leave mama alone. You see, the Bible is still God's inspired and preserved Word of God. Let me give you several statements. Statement number one, we still have an every word Bible. Let me say that one more time. I know we're in a Baptist conference. I know we're afraid to say amen about we still have an every word Bible.
I might have to get you. Can you help your choir do it a little bit? Okay, come on, get over here. Get over here. And I said we still have an Every Word Bible. Now, how about out here? Let's try it around as well. I said we still have an Every Word Bible. Now, if you don't believe that, you found yourself in the wrong conference. Because every word inside of this book is God's word. Listen, Psalm 12:7 says, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Get this now. God says this is not something that just happened to come together. He says it's always been around. I hear people often say, "Well, but the original say." I got news. The original is John 1:1, Jesus Christ. You see, before there was ever a translation on earth, a preservation on earth, it was up in heaven where Jesus lived before he came to earth. I've got news for you. When I get tired of these guys saying, "Well, in the Greek it says," I don't need to go to the Greek. I got the King James Bible. If I have an Every Word Bible, I don't need to run to the Greek. I don't need to run to the Hebrew because I have an Every Word Bible right here. Somebody help me out. You say, "I don't believe that." That's fine. You can disagree with God's word. But everything, the Hebrew, the Greek, the Aramaic, was all a preservation from heaven down to earth. God already had every word written in heaven. Before the world was ever created, there was a Bible up in heaven. It just so happened that God brought it down to earth so that you and I could read it because God wanted to give us some instructions to live by. Can I tell you, we still have an every word Bible. Our problem tonight is we're not reading the every word Bible. Our problem tonight, we're not preaching the every word Bible. We're too worried about, this is going to offend somebody. I've got news for you. Every word inside of this book is valuable to you and I. I may not know why God put it in there, but I'm telling you, it's still valuable. I tell my church quite often, I don't know how soap works, but it works. I wish the staff up here would figure that out sometime. You know, I jump in that shower, I get a bar of soap, and I soap up, and I come out, and I'm smelling pretty good. I don't know how it works. I just know that if I use a bar of soap, it's going to help out. Can I tell you, if you just use the bar of soap, it's going to help you out. You say, "I don't understand why God wants me to read Leviticus." I don't understand it either, but I'm telling you, God gave us every word, and every word is profitable for you and I. You say, "I don't understand why God gave me Chronicles." Well, I don't understand it either. I mean, I find out that so-and-so begat so-and-so, and I can't even read the names. I call Brother Neil. He can't read the names. He calls his dad. He can't read the names. Hey, can I tell you tonight? Hey, it doesn't matter whether I understand it or not, but it's God's word to you and I, and may I say, every word of God inside of this book is God's word. I said statement number one, we still have an every word Bible. Statement number two, Satan's attack has always been against God's word. Can I tell you the real battle today is really over the word of God. These people that want to create a little denomination in our fundamental Baptist circles, they forgot that the local church is in the word of God. Somebody say amen to that one right there. I'm not interested in denominations. My predecessors came out of it. They've told me about it. I don't want to go back to it. I don't need a hierarchy telling me what I need to do inside of my local independent Baptist church. Do you understand the battle? The real battle tonight is over the Word of God. Satan's attack has always been the Word of God. Where did he start? In the Garden of Eden. He said, "Yea, hath God said." You know what he does? He gets us to question the validity of that book right there and say, "Well, you know, it's just hard to understand." Can I tell you, it's really not that hard to understand. Let me just tell you how hard it is. I'm just turning my Bible. It landed. Did you see that? It landed in the book of Job. I'm just going to put my finger on a verse. Here it says in Job chapter 14 and verse 3, "And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one?" Let me tell you what that means. I open my eyes and I'm looking at somebody. This is deep stuff now. You might have given a graduate degree on this one right here. This is deep stuff. I'm going to turn to another spot in the Bible. I'm just going to drop my finger right there. And it's Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 8. "And I will make this city desolate." Can I help you out? It's going to be what Georgia Bulldogs are at the end of the year.
You see, it's not about we can't understand it. It's about what it's saying to us that we're trying to change. Satan has always been about questioning the Word of God because he doesn't want God telling us what to do. Satan wants to be the authority to tell us what to do through his false perversions. And if God provides a Bible, Satan will also provide a Bible. I said statement number one, we still have an every word Bible. Are you still out there? Say amen. Amen. I said number two, Satan's attack has always been against God's word. Statement number three, every word in God's word is vital to knowing the right fire. Every word in God's word is vital to knowing the right fire. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It didn't say was, it says is profitable. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Can I tell you, I need an every word Bible to know what doctrine I need to have. I need an every word Bible to know when I'm doing wrong so it can reprove me. I need an every word Bible that when my direction gets off a little bit, it corrects me. I need an every word Bible that'll instruct me in the right way of life. I've got to have an every word Bible. How am I going to know what to believe if I don't have an every word Bible? If one word is missing, maybe that one word is going to change the whole book of what I believe. I'm saying every word is important tonight. You see, that's exactly what Satan does. He comes in and says, well, these are difficult words. Let me change them. Oh, he's not just changing them. He's taking them out. You see, God says in Proverbs 35, every word of God is pure. He says he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Can I ask you tonight, how am I going to live if I don't have every word? How am I going to live inside my marriage and treat my wife right if I don't have every word? How am I going to be a parent if I don't have every word? How am I going to give my tithes if I don't have every word? How am I going to know what I'm supposed to go soul winning if I don't have every word? How am I going to know how to do business dealings if I don't have every word? How am I going to know how to comfort people if I don't have every word? Ladies and gentlemen, I need every word inside of this book, because if I miss one word, oh, may I tell you, that one word might be the very thing that you and I need tonight to understand. Hey, I can't help people if I don't have an every word Bible. You see, all he does, he just changes one word at a time. I've said we still have an every word Bible. Somebody help me out. I've said Satan's attack has always been against God's word. I've said every word in God's word is vital to knowing the right fire. You know why a lot of these people in these churches today, they don't have the right fire. You know why? You say, how do you know? How do you know that? Well, just go to the bookstores. When I became pastor of Maranatha Baptist Church in there, and I started walking, and the previous pastor was a good man, but I started walking through the building, so I sold some pictures up. I looked at the verses in those pictures, and I realized that they weren't King James Bible. I tore them down. I came to church the next Sunday. One of the teachers says, where's this picture? I said, it's in the garbage. She says, why is it in the garbage? I said, because there was garbage on it. She says, what do you mean there's garbage on it? I said, you allowed another perversion on top of that picture. I said, those little children are reading that picture. I said, I don't want those little children corrupting their minds with that other perversion right there. Let me tell you something. I don't need a pornography Bible to tell me what to do. I need a peer Bible to tell me what to do. Statement number four. Satan always offers alternatives to God's word. Now just hang on right now. You see, he always does. And by the way, in the Spanish language, the Spanish world better start addressing this. I know I'm meddling right now, but the truth is those in the Spanish world absolutely know they've got a problem with their Bible.
We either have an every word Bible or we don't. Boy, it got quiet in here all of a sudden. They don't want to address this because they don't want to fight a battle. They've been wearing lace on their underwear a whole lot too long. Let me tell you something. Brother Hiles took a beating because he stood for the King James Bible, and these guys sat there and said amen, and yet they still use a Bible that's similar to the NIV. Somebody help me out. It's amazing that Google can get it better than the Bible they use. Boy, I'm alone right now. You see, not every Bible is the same. Let me read some of these things right here. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 38. King James Bible says, and one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood. And they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which he spake. That's King James Bible. The NIV says they washed the chariot at a pool in Samaria where the prostitutes bathed. The ESV, the smart Bible. Here we go. And they washed the chariot by the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and the prostitutes washed themselves in it. So the prostitutes came and washed themselves in this blood. Somebody help me out. You think I'm a nut. You think I'm off my rocker. Yet you're reading that, well, but this is a better translation. Not according to my word. Somewhere mine doesn't have prostitutes. They say there's prostitutes there. Genesis 2:7 in the King James Bible, and the Lord, God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became, listen now, a living soul. The NIV says a living being. There's a big difference between a living soul and a living being. My dog is a being. My body is a soul. Somebody help me out. The ESV says that man became a living creature. Let me tell you what creatures are. Creatures are snakes. I hate snakes. I hope we're not recording this right now because I don't want my church to know this. But a few weeks ago, I was unlocking our church, and my treasurer was with me, and he always gets one side, I get the other, and he comes walking out of the ladies' baptistry room. His face is white, and I thought, what in the world's going on? I mean, he had a white face. He was scared to death. He says, I'm not going back in there. I said, what's going on? He says, there's a snake coiled up in the ladies' baptistry room. He says, somebody needs to get that out. I said, I agree. Somebody needs to get that out. I called my nephew who grew up he's a Filipino. I mean, Filipinos handle anything. If they can eat balut, they can handle a snake. Somebody help me out. I said, JP, there's a snake in the ladies' restroom. I said, I don't tell anybody. I said, I could just imagine the ladies walking in there for baptistry and seeing a snake. That'll change the baptistry service. Now, that's a creature. May I say, I'm not a creature, I'm a soul. I was sitting on the airplane years ago, and I was in first class, bumped up to first class, and my daughter was actually next to me. And the pilot said to the flight attendant, there are 124 souls in this vessel. I said to my daughter, I said, did you hear that? She says, hear what? I said, 124 souls. Understand, there's a difference between a soul and a being or a creature. Somebody say amen. Let's continue on, can we? Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. But go ye, King James Bible, go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Get this now. The NIV and the ESV takes out that word repentance, just says that Jesus came to call the righteous. Matthew
Matthew 17:21, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. The NIV and the ESV has taken that out. Matthew 18:11, for the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. NIV and ESV has taken that out. Matthew 23:14, woe unto scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore, ye shall receive the greater damnation. The NIV and the ESV has taken that out. Mark 7:16, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. The NIV and the ESV has taken that out. You know why? Because they don't want you to hear. Mark 9:44 and 46, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, is taken out of the NIV and the ESV. Somebody help me out right now. I know, I'm just an old fogey. I know, I'm T-Rex Domley. I know I came off the ark. I understand I'm just one of those nuts out there, but I'll be a nut, bless God. Why? The King James Bible is the inspired and preserved Word of God. Mark 10:24, and the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? The NIV says, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. The ESV says, children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus didn't say that. It's not difficult to enter the kingdom of God. All you got to do is repent and just say, I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're on your way to heaven. It's just riches has happened to get in the way of a lot of rich people. Can I tell you that? Hey, no one. No wonder they're attacking the soul winners of a past generation. No wonder. Why? I bet they've been reading their books. I bet they've been going to these conferences. I bet they've been listening. Why? Because when you start attacking soul winning, you're attacking the Word of God. Well, Carl Hatch, I doubt that any of those really mean it. Oh, when did you go soul winning with Carl Hatch? When's the last time you went soul winning with Jack Hyle? Somebody help me out. You weren't even a twinkle in mama's eye, and you're trying to tell us that Jack Hyles didn't know how to go soul winning. Let me tell you something. It's time some of you knuckleheads stop trying to go down that road and say, hey, the Word of God, that's what this is all about. That bull's coming out. Luke 4:4, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The NIV just says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. The ESV says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Hold on a second now. God says, but by every word of God. Why'd they take that out? I'll tell you exactly why. Because they got to change it and change it and change it. Let me tell you something. I'm not interested in changing this. I'm interested in reading it and keeping it. I'm just skipping some of these. Acts 8:37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You see, what you didn't read before was the verse before says, he says, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip now says, now hold on, baptism is not going to save you. That's why when you go soul winning, listen to me now, that's why when you go soul winning and you ask somebody, hey, if you die today, are you sure you go to heaven? I've been baptized. I didn't ask if you've been baptized. I asked you, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? But see, the NIV and the ESV has taken that whole verse out, verse 37. Why? Because they want you to believe that baptism does save you. First Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. The NIV says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved. I'm not being saved, I am saved. Somebody help me out. The ESV says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved. Boy, I'm glad I'm not went in their church. Boy, no wonder people keep on coming back, because you got to be saved and be saved and be saved. I don't get saved today and lost tomorrow. I'm saved today and I'm saved forever. Somebody say amen on that.
Philippians 2:6. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The NIV says, who, being in the very nature God. No, he wasn't the nature God. He is God. Did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Come on now. Now, if you know anything about doctrine, that's attacking the deity of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:6 in the ESV, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Boy, you're really smart. You're so smart that you've taken the deity of Christ right on out. And see, listen to me, and that's why when people get upset when I start getting on this little King James Bible thing, oh, you're just on your little kick again. Yeah, I'm going to be on this kick till the day I die. You say, why? Because that kick is about the doctrine. It's about heaven and hell, and people are going to go to hell because they're reading a wrong Bible, trusting something wrong. Let me tell you something. Hey, baptism doesn't save you. Jesus is the virgin-born Son of God, and somewhere we better get the right Bible that teaches us that. Oh, let me go back. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. NIV, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Where's the blood? ESV, in whom, it must be John MacArthur must have wrote that verse. Oh, did I say that name? Don't look at me cross-eyed. He's not a good Christian. He's a heretic. The man says that the blood of Christ is not important for a person to be saved. I've got news for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Well, he's got good material. Yeah, but he's got bad material too. ESV says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let me tell you something. Satan's always going to offer an alternative. And here's the problem. The problem is we're warming at the wrong fire. Problem is we're bringing the wrong fire into our bookstore. Somebody help me out. Problem is we're bringing the wrong fire behind our pulpit. Somebody help me out. Oh, somebody points it out. He's the bad guy, but because they brought it in and said, well, I just didn't vet it well, they're okay. Let me tell you something. I don't have to vet something. If they don't believe the King James Bible, they're not getting invited. Somebody help me out. It's amazing how people get crickets when it comes down to the Word of God. I've got a brand new dog, and it's not a bulldog. It's a Rottweiler. 12 weeks old, kill your bulldog. She's got a bite. A whole lot stronger bite, Brother Chitty, than a lot of these guys out there who won't even stand on the Word of God. They got their color lights. They got their praise teams. They're canceling their Sunday school. Somebody help me out. Well, why are they all doing this? I'll tell you exactly why. They've been bringing the wrong fire into their church. I don't like you. Well, I've worked a long time just to kind of get this little disposition. He told me about that guy calling him. I thought, man, that's the first time that's happened to you? Wow. My daughter said one day, I said, everybody likes me, honey. She goes, no, Dad, you wake up, you make somebody mad. Been hanging around Dr. Gray too much. Your source dictates your direction. Your source dictates your product. Your source dictates your passion. Your source dictates your soul winning. You know what stirs me about soul winning? Reading this book right here. You read this book long enough, it's going to stir you. I promise you, in this room, I'd be shocked if most people only read 10 minutes of their Bible today.
Well, we believe the King James Bible. Read it.
Every morning, 4:30, I have a resurrection service in my bedroom. I crawl out of bed. I stumble over to the coffee pot, get a 16-ounce coffee cup, pour 16 ounces of Starbucks coffee inside that. I go to my desk, and I sit down at my desk. I set that coffee cup down, and I read the Old Testament. When I'm done reading in the Old Testament and that coffee cup is just about done, I go and refill it again. 32 ounces of coffee will do you good every day. That's just to get the day started. I then turn to the New Testament, and I read the New Testament. I took up some advice from an old preacher by the name of Tom Malone. He said, the young preacher boy said, how long do you read your Bible for? And he said, I read it till my heart burns. And I thought, well, that's not bad advice right there. Because you see, inside of this book, every word inside of this book is here to help us. Why do I need an every word Bible? Because when troubled times come, that's the only place you can run to. 2 weeks ago, 7 different people from my church were in the hospital at the same time. 2 days later, I have someone call me. She said, preacher, I need you to come to the house. The daughter had been defiled by her stepdad. The same day I went to another house, and man's got some serious illness. The doctor said, and it's affecting his heart. The doctor said, we can't do anything with your heart because of the other illness. I had to run back home. I had to get in this book. I just needed to get some answers. Because I don't know what to say to these people. I looked up to God and I said, God, I don't know what you're doing. I wanted to call the hospital. They're all in the same hospital. I wanted to call the hospital and say, you need to start tithing to our church. We're paying your bills. I don't always have the answer, but I know the book that does. If I change a book, if I change a word, I may not have the answer. And when my faith begins to get a little shaky, and I'm just not sure, I run to the Word of God. And it gives me the courage to step out by faith. What happened to us? Look at me. What happened to us? We used to sit at First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. You all know what I'm saying. We used to amen Brother Hiles, preaching on the King James Bible. Nowadays, we've got men who just sit there, doesn't stir them. Maybe it's because you're reading some books with the wrong fire. I just don't like that. I think this is divisive preaching, where the Word of God's always been a sword. Somebody help me out. It's always divided the chaff and the wheat. Say, well, I won't come back to Preacher's Delight Conference next year. Yeah, but you got it while you're here this year, didn't you? It's easy to get up and alliterate my sermon and sound cute and make everybody like me and ha-ha and rah-rah. Why don't some of these guys just get up every once in a while in these conferences and start addressing the King James Bible problem that we're having in our country with independent Baptists? At least that's what they call themselves. Go ahead, smarty pants. Well, we need to go to the ESV. It's a better Bible, really. It is if you want to have colored lights. You just kind of cooled down, haven't you? You're not as passionate as you used to be, are you? You've been distancing yourself from Christ, and let me tell you what happens. You distance yourself long enough, you'll deny the church, you'll deny the faith, and you'll deny your God. So I don't like you. I didn't come in here tonight to get you to like me. I've presented my case. Now tell me why your Bible's right when it's omitted so many things. Important things. It's time independent Baptists get back down to this altar tonight. So I need to get dedicated to standing strong for this whole book right here. I don't read books by Christian authors that don't use the King James Bible. This will really curl your hair if you have it. You don't worry. We don't even use cards, Christmas cards or birthday cards that don't use the King James Bible. Well, I'll just scribble it out. Yeah, but you already paid for it. So you're going too far. Oh, really? I went as far as Christ. He died on the cross. By the way, it was about the Word. He said he's the Son of God, and they said he was not. They crucified him. By the way, we know we come every Sunday to church and every Sunday night and Wednesday night celebrate the Word of God, Jesus Christ. Where are those who crucified him? Where are you tonight? Hey, you false Bible guys, where were you? We'll be dead and gone. This book will still stand. It's time tonight we get back to believing this book right here. It's God's Word. And let's fight for it. Listen to me. Well, I just don't believe in getting involved. Let me ask you a question. When will you ever fight? I'm just trying to figure this out. When are you ever going to take a stand? Why are you so silent when somebody takes a stand on the King? Why? Well, I just don't want to lose my friends. Well, if you have to lose friends over this book, then lose them. You know, it's drawn us together, that book right there. A lot of times when we talk about this book, do we not? We've discovered that Ohio State is not in that book. Men who used to have me won't have anything to do with me because I've taken this stand. That's fine. I'm not worried. I'm not looking to beat. I have a wonderful church to preach at every Sunday. I'm telling you right now, somewhere we've got to get back. There's another generation that needs to see some people stand for the old-time religion. Dr. Gray's 79 or 80. How old are you? 79. He's not going to be around forever. His generation has fought the battles. And it's time this generation gets a backbone. And just decides, you attack my Bible, you got to fight. Because it's still the inspired and preserved Word of God for the English-speaking people.